Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two. We're live in L.A. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1, baby. We are ready to go. We got a game seven in the NBA West tonight. Herd hierarchy in a minute or two. And Joy Taylor, who matches the set, is joining me today. I'm feeling unbelievable. I watched two games last night. Neither great, although we may have had one really good team, Pittsburgh. Maybe.
I enjoyed the games last night, though.
Well,
I felt like I had a lot to learn from the games last night.
That's fair. By the way, I don't believe in, like, fate. I think you kind of craft your own life. I don't believe in, there's a reason for stuff happening. Every professional team in Los Angeles, Lakers, Clippers, LAFC, Galaxy, Dodgers, they're all at least pretty good. Every team in New York stinks now. The Giants, the Jets, the Yankees are underachieving. The Mets are a mess. Brooklyn, historically, the Knicks. Oh, congrats on the New York Islanders. Nobody cares. You think it's just happenstance or there's a reason for it? I'm just wondering. The tax rate, the lousy weather, bad owners, a lot of ego. I'm watching the Giants last night. I'm like, New York is just a mess.
But the Giants don't have bad ownership.
No,
nor do they have a tradition of losing. So I think when you look at a situation like maybe the Knicks, that's explainable.
But the Giants don't even look close to Baltimore. Don't even look like the same sport.
No, but they're in like a total rebuild.
Again? How many years is this? Eight?
Listen, as a Dolphins fan, rebuild is like the anti, like I don't want to hear that word, but that's where they are.
Wow. All right, here we go. Herd hierarchy, our first in-season edition of the year. Here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
49ers, and there are areas of concern. They struggle with mobile quarterbacks. They struggle with Kyler Murray. They struggle with Russell Wilson. They struggle with Lamar Jackson. The league's getting increasingly mobile. Also, wide receiver has been a bit of a problem for them. Emmanuel Sanders gone. Only 41 of the team's 260 yards came from their wide receiver Sunday. And Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo are sleeping in separate bedrooms. I'm seeing a little tension here, some fissures in that relationship. Niners at 10.
Number 9.
Steelers. Okay, here's the good news. That defense held Saquon Barkley to a nothing burger. 6 yards, 15 carries. That was impressive. And we knew it was. We knew their defense is good, and they got a very easy schedule, second easiest schedule. I probably should have put them at 9-7 or 10-6, not 8-8. I just didn't know what I was going to get. I said, I got to watch Big Ben play. They look good. They look Pittsburgh-y, where they're going to win all the games they should. I just don't know if they're next level, but I put them at 9.
Number 8.
Buffalo Bills are exceptionally well coached. I'm not sure there's a staff in the NFL that knows the limitations of their players and avoids it, and the strength of their players and leans into it. Josh Allen, they're just taking baby steps and baby steps. Finally had, he's got 18 rushing touchdowns, by the way, most last 2 years in the NFL. But they finally scored 27 points against the Jets. They finally got into the high 20s. Josh Allen looked a little more comfortable, still erratic. I really do think you don't pay a lot of attention to Buffalo. I think this is a coaching story. I think Sean McDermott and Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay are the three best young coaches in the NFL.
Number 7.
Rams. I like them. I'll tell you, Malcolm Brown, the running back, gets no press. That guy's a bull. That guy's good. That guy delivered against Dallas. Jared Goff, I know. None of you like Jared Goff. He had 5 completions of 20-plus yards, tied for the most in the NFL. And here's the thing. Goff and McVay like each other. It works. They appreciate each other. They complete each other. They like each other. It's not tense. And I think Goff is his best quarterback with McVay. And I also think their wide receiver tight end core, I think it could be second to the Chiefs in the NFL. They got a bunch of guys who can catch and run in L.A.
Number 6.
Tampa Bay's going to be fine. New Orleans could win the Super Bowl. Lighten up. They had a punt block. 9 penalties. Mike Evans is recovering from a hamstring injury. He had one catch. And Leonard Fournette, who's going to become their number one back. Leonard Fournette is just learning the system. Those are star players in the NFL. By the way, they go to Carolina this week. Carolina is not good on defense. Mark my words. They're going to score a lot of points this weekend. Going up against that Saints defense is just no day at the beach. And don't overreact. Tampa's offense will be fine.
Number 5.
Packers. Now, first of all, I don't think Minnesota is as good defensively as they have been the last 3 years. They lost too many players. Griffin on the edge. They got injuries up front. Aaron Rodgers owns this team. I will say this. Davante Adams and DeAndre Hopkins, those may be the two best receivers in the NFL. I'm not sure you can guard him. It wasn't that Davante Adams had a bunch of catches. He was wide open. Aaron looked healthy. He looked happy. They're on a 6-game winning streak in week one. But listen, I don't think Minnesota's very good. That's why I don't have the Packers in my kind of elite four. But they were impressive. They own week one. They now currently own the Vikings, and that was nice.
Number 4.
Pete Carroll finally said, you know, Russ, I'm going to let you go. No, it's funny. Russell Wilson maybe had one of the greatest games I've ever seen a quarterback play. Third highest single-game completion percentage in NFL history, and Atlanta's no slouch. Russell Wilson, for the record, leads all quarterbacks in the NFL with 107 touchdown passes last 3 years. No other quarterback has 100. This is Russell's team. Let him go. Give it to him. And I will say, they played with Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner. They played with a lot of swagger on defense, a lot of toughness. They were running around hitting people. They established that physicality very early on the road. Seattle really impressed me defensively.
Number 3.
Saints. They weren't perfect. I mean, Michael Thomas was held to 3 catches. This is a really good football team. And they added 2 smart veterans, Malcolm Jenkins, Emmanuel Sanders. You know, I feel about the Saints kind of like I felt the last 4 or 5 years. Not a lot of room for error. They don't get a lot of cheap touchdowns. You don't get any D-hop touchdowns. You don't get any Mike Evans touchdowns. They don't commit penalties. They're very efficient. They're great at home. I just don't feel with Drew Brees over the top at his age, you get a lot of free touchdowns, a lot of playmaking ability. But they're well-coached, well-oiled, well-run, really smart, and you can tell from the salary cap next couple of years, they've gone all in on this team. They are hyper-focused on this year, and when you have Drew Brees, who's going to be a broadcaster, you know, in 6 months, that's what you do.
Number 2.
Kansas City, currently on a 10-game winning streak. That's including the playoffs last year, longest in the NFL. Now, they're a little top-heavy. They pay a handful of guys a ton of money. I worry about depth in certain positions. Right tackle Mitchell Schwartz is really, really important. He's one of their stars they're not paying a ton to. They're good. And what I liked about week one, Mahomes has always been a gunslinger. Now he looks efficient. I mean, now he's audibling out of stuff at the line of scrimmage. So now you get the Brett Favre never graduated to a lot of that stuff. Like Mahomes now, we're in year 3. He was like, yeah, I'm going to go from gunslinger howitzer. I'm going to go to surgical. Oh, that's not good for everybody else.
Number 1.
Baltimore, I picked them to win the Super Bowl. They're a machine. Listen, you got to understand. Cleveland's got talent. They beat them by 32 points. Cleveland's not going to lose a game the rest of this year by 32 points. That is unbelievable. I just don't see the flaws. I don't see them. I don't. Last year, their pass rush was inconsistent. It doesn't appear to be. This is in a salary cap era. This is about as good a roster. And for the record, all you Lamar Jackson critics, he's now 20-3. Let's move past the, I don't know if it's going to work. It's working well. He's lost a couple playoff games. Whatevs. Peyton Manning lost a lot of them for a lot of years, and so did John Elway. Baltimore, to me, is the team to beat in this league. All right, we got to get Peter King on NBC Sports in America. I want his thoughts on Pittsburgh because I know Pittsburgh always beats bad teams. Are they next level? What did Peter King see? NBCSports.com, 3-time National Sports Writer of the Year. All right, you tell me your takeaway on Pittsburgh. We know they beat up on average. I mean, they're 33-6-1 against the Browns and Bengals last decade. Did you see next level stuff last night, though?
Well, two observations. I think the Giants are a little better than we thought they were, and Daniel Jones is still a very young quarterback, you know, as witnessed by his the 19th play on that drive, which was, you know, a fatal mistake. But I do think, looking at the Steelers now, you know, I think coming into this year, if you would have said, who are the Steelers' biggest weapons? You know, I probably would have said Roethlisberger, Juju,
yeah,
then T.J. Watt, and most likely Cam Hayward. And now I think you got to put Bud Dupree right in that mix. I thought he was tremendous last night. I thought he was the difference in the game. And I'll tell you what, the Steelers are going to be a hard team to face defensively all year, no matter whether Ben's missed 22 games in the last 5 years. So, and he's 38 years old. I don't know if he'll last, but if he doesn't, it won't matter because it'll matter. But I'm talking about when your offense faces their defense, that they are one of the three or four toughest defenses front to back in the league.
You know, it's funny, Peter, nobody ever talks about player development. Pittsburgh really develops their players. About year three and four, a lot of their guys, they really do an amazing job on player development. So, you know, we always have a team in this league and that we're good and we think they're going to be great, and they're just not. And then it happens every year. But if you and I mention that team, we just get crushed. But I'm going to throw a couple of things up about the 49ers that could be troubling. We now have a quarterback coach where I think the coach has lost a little confidence in the quarterback. Mobile quarterbacks, Kyler Murray multiple times, Russell Wilson, Lamar, give this defensive front troubles. And they're just wildly inconsistent at wide receiver. I'm not saying the Niners aren't good, but I am seeing some holes here that if I was a Niner fan, I would be like there's some stuff here that's not right. Is that fair?
I think so. The loss of Deebo Samuel for three games or more now, I think Matt Mayoko out in San Francisco reported there might be more of an issue with his foot than they previously thought. His game is speed. If he's got a foot problem, that's a big problem. But the loss of Deebo Samuel, I think, really hurt him against the Cardinals on Sunday. You can beat the Jets without Deebo Samuel. You probably can beat the Giants without Deebo Samuel, but you know, you're not going to go far without his impact and the impact of other wide receivers that, you know, they have just been totally snake bit at the receiver position, you know, mostly because of injuries. That would bother me. And again, look, I like Garoppolo, but I've got to see it for a longer period of time out of Garoppolo. And I remember the postseason too well. So he has to prove, even with a beaten-up receiver core, that he's good enough to win games.
You know, it's funny. I said my issues with Tom Brady weren't necessarily his age. My issues were New England is about the most detail-oriented, aspirational organization I've seen in sports for two decades. Tampa has a history of being loose. Bruce Arians is loose. Sunday, they got 9 penalties, a block punt. And I wonder over – and Bruce Arians called Tom out right away. And I'm like, I'd be careful about that. I don't worry about Tom's determination and work ethic. Anything about Tampa week one, including Arians' comments, anything worry you a little bit about what you saw?
Well – you know, I watched almost every snap of the game. So, yeah, there were some things I worry about. The pick six, that I thought was by Janoris Jenkins that, you know, I thought was a really bad decision by Brady and a late decision by Brady. So that would bother me. But, again, I keep coming back to this. You know, there's a good chance that the Bucs had to play the best team in the NFC on the road in week one. The team in the NFC with the most continuity by far in week one. And what's the team that's had monumental changes? You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady. You know, I wrote this yesterday. Do you realize that yesterday was the one-month anniversary of Tom Brady getting in a huddle with his teammates in Tampa for the first time? So, you know, that Drew Brees has been getting in a huddle with his teammates for 15 years. So, and again, that's a little bit of a false comparison. But I'm just simply saying Tom Brady and his teammates are new. Drew Brees and his teammates, you know, are an old shoe. So it was a bad matchup for the first week of the season for the Bucs. And now they have a favorable schedule for the next 4 weeks. So we'll see what happens.
You know, it's interesting. You generally in the NFL, you get a couple of years, and by year three, if something's not cooking, coach, quarterback, you're in trouble. So Adam Gase, the Jets look disorganized. If I see about four more of those, he's not getting past Thanksgiving. And Baker Mayfield, fourth coach, same mistakes. Let's talk Thursday. This sounds ridiculous, but Joy and I talked about this. I've seen the Steelers and I've seen the Ravens. If Joe Burrow beats Baker, there's going to be some people in Cleveland, Peter, they're bailing on Baker. They don't want to be part of it. I think it's a bigger game than we just think, oh, it's just another football game. Joe Burrow looked pretty good to me. Like, I think this Baker thing could unravel here if they don't start posting some W's. Am I nuts on it?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I'm not saying that after the second week, publicly, they're going to throw Baker in the garbage. But I think privately, you know, if they don't beat the Bengals, I'd like to be able to sit here and say, man, that's a dangerous Cincinnati team coming in. But it isn't.
It isn't.
It's an okay team. It's okay. But, you know, it's probably a 5-11 team. So you can't convince me that if you're the Cleveland Browns, who lost the opener a year ago by 30 when everybody in America loved them, they lose the opener by 30. This year, people are saying, hey, they're a sneaky team. They might win 9 or 10, you know, and then they go and they lose by 32 in the opener this year. I'm totally, absolutely down on the Browns. And I feel bad. Kevin Stefanski deserves a legitimate chance. But I've seen this movie too many times. Off-season optimism in Cleveland, and then they stink.
Yeah.
Wake me up when they're halfway decent, because they are not right now.
You know, I said this yesterday on the show. I said, happiness is about expectations. And if you're mad with what you saw with the Cowboys, that's kind of on you. I think they have a pretty good coach and a pretty good quarterback, and I thought it was a pretty good performance. But I'll tell you what. They are much like the Rams last year and a little bit of Philadelphia. They're top heavy on contracts. Translation, not a ton of depth. They've lost Gerald McCoy, the tight end. And now Van Der Esch is out for 2 months. Peter, they're a Tyron Smith pulled hamstring away from having some chaos because Travis Frederick's gone now. And I look at the Cowboys and I'm like, if you're getting upset with this, this is kind of what I've seen the last 12, 15 times they've played good teams. Like, this is what they are, right?
I think they're very lucky that there's similar chaos right now in Philadelphia. And look, let's not make too much out of Washington winning that first game of the season over Philadelphia. But, you know, Colin, you watch that game, and you'd be hard-pressed to say that Philadelphia is better than Washington. It's hard for me to believe that, you know, Philadelphia's problems are that was just a fluky loss.
Right.
They have major problems on the offensive line, both in chemistry and injuries. That's one thing. And then, you know, I just look at their receiver core, their wide receiver core, and they have to get mature and a lot better fast.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would say about Philly, I think, is that be a little worried about Carson Wentz. Not a lot worried, but that was not an encouraging day for him. But to get back to Dallas, I think the Cowboys will be okay. I'd kind of like to have my you know, Cowboys as the top seed in the NFC back, which I had because I thought the division was going to be really weak. And honestly, I don't want to have it back because I feel like Dallas is going to stink. I don't think so. I still think they've got a very good chance to win their division. But Washington, I thought, was really impressive on Sunday.
Yeah.
And impressive enough to win 9 and to be in the pennant race in December, I don't know. But Washington was one of the 2 or 3 teams I saw in week 1 that was more impressive than I thought they'd be.
Peter King, NBC Sports. Great seeing you, Peter. It was a very fun week 1, and Thursday has a little urgency for it if you're Baker and the Browns. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Colin. Have a great day.
By the way, the grass is always greener. Not. Thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr. And don't freak out. The Clippers will win tonight. I'll tell you why that's coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, Dak and Zeke lead the Cowboys in their home opener against Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Or you may see Jimmy G and the 49ers as they take on the Jets. All the NFL action kicks off at 1 Eastern. Check local listings for the game in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app.
Not to be a homer, but Fox was the only network where all of our games were up. 1 o'clock window, 4 o'clock window. I've said it before. We do the NFL really well. We really are good at postseason baseball. We're really, really good at the NFL. Our ratings were up in the 1 o'clock window, the 4 o'clock window, highest, most watched game since last year's Super Bowl, most watched television show since last year's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the way. So a lot of good games. By the way, that Falcon-Dallas game, you're not going 0-2 if you're Dallas. Then again, Dallas is an injury and a loss away from some panic.
There's a lot of urgency in week 2.
Yeah, week 3, Dallas in Seattle. Good luck with that. By the way, Clippers are going to win game 7 tonight over Denver. You do get that 9 of the last 12 NBA champs have faced a game 7 at some point in the playoffs. This is what it's like. This is not a great team. This is not a dynasty. The Clippers weren't the number 1 seed. This is Kawhi's history. Go back to last year. Game 7 against the Sixers. Remember that jumper from the corner, that iconic shot? If that doesn't go in, if this shot doesn't go in, the game goes to overtime. The Raptors season could be over. They needed this bounce to win the series. And then Kawhi gets to the finals against Golden State. Steph's hurt. Klay's hurt. Kevin Durant's hurt. The team doctor's hurt. Everybody was hurt. And that went 6 games. Kawhi's legacy is this spot. He's been in this spot a lot. It's never been easy for Kawhi. By the way, first round against Dallas. They went 6 games against Dallas. Porzingis was out and Luka had a bum ankle. This is not, people, you get spoiled by like Miami Heat in a 25-game winning streak or whatever it was. You get spoiled by MJ. You get spoiled by dynasties. You get spoiled by Kevin Durant. This is what the playoffs look like for good teams. Boston's a good team. Clippers are a good team, but their chemistry's not great. They just started playing together. I said I thought it would be easier than this, but they're not a great team. They weren't even number 1 seed in the West. They weren't the number 1 seed in the West. Doc Rivers says, game 7, go out, play hoops. The rest of it's nonsense.
I said, let's go win. I just know Roro's speeches are very overrated, Dan. They last about 3 minutes, and you come running out, and you're fired up, and 3 minutes later, you got to focus on playing basketball. So there's no, like, secret speech. You know, that's for, the movies.
You know, listen, the playoffs, if you take out dynasties, have always been just a battle of attrition, a battle of survival, a battle of health, and here we go, game 7. Denver's really talented, really young, and I'll take the Clippers tonight. For the record, Fox Bet, I think they're favored by 7. It's telling you what the smart guys think. Clippers will win. They'll clamp down. They'll pull it out. There you go. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Doc ruining all the sports movie speeches?
All the Hoosier stuff?
Remember the Titans? I mean, I got to believe in these speeches. So Tom Brady struggled a little bit in his Bucs debut on Sunday. emphasized by two interceptions, including one returned for a touchdown. And Bruce Arians said that he was surprised Brady didn't play the way he expected in week one.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. He knew he didn't play very well, and it's not what he expects from himself, nor do we expect. So yeah, I wouldn't anticipate him to have a little more grit and a little more determination this week.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him saying he didn't play well. He didn't play well. The grit and determination thing is kind of it's a weird statement when you apply it to Tom Brady.
It's kind of personal.
No, but it's also that's the opposite of what Tom Brady is.
If my bosses said to me, you know, Colin didn't have a good show. But if they said, you know, I'd hope for a little better work ethic.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's like, okay, maybe he didn't have a good game, but work ethic was not the problem.
Yeah, determination's not Tom's issue. He's absurdly determined.
Right. So I don't want to pick apart every single word.
I get it.
That's what we do, obviously. But I don't have a problem with him being critical of Tom Brady because he wasn't good. And similar to what Bill Belichick did, if you're not going to criticize Tom Brady, you're setting the tone for everyone else. Like, Tom is okay. He's okay with this. He dealt with it for 20 years. I'm sure, I mean, he got his pieces now. He was fine with it in New England when he was winning. So it's not like he's not used to this. Again, the last sentence of that statement is a little off, but look, you have high expectations.
Yeah, I know.
You're the GOAT. You got to go in there and do stuff. You can't go out there week one looking like Jameis Winston. That's not going to work
in
Tampa Bay. So the Patriots showed off a run-heavy offense in their win over the Dolphins on Sunday, and the new game plan was catered to the skill set of Cam Newton, and Bill Belichick says he will continue to take advantage of his players' strengths. He said, we will always try to do what's best for the team to win. When your starting quarterback has things that he's good at or things you can take advantage of, and I think you try to take advantage of them. The Patriots rushed the ball 42 times for 217 yards.
That's a lot of rushes. In 2020, that's a lot of rushes.
Averaging 5.2 yards per carry with 3 rushing touchdowns, and Cam actually led the team with 75 yards on 15 carries
and
2 rushing
touchdowns. New England rushed the ball 42 times. The Colts threw the ball 46 times. And you're like, God, why did the Colts lose? Why did Phillip Rivers throw a pick? You throw the ball 46 times in this league. You expect quarterbacks to not have a bad throw? Like, the thing what New England did is they're like, listen, this is all new. What can Cam do? Let's do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Like, it sounds simple, but I watched the Colts game and I'm like, God, Phillip Rivers threw 46 times. What do you expect? He completed 36 of them.
And it's Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
So you know he's not afraid to go out there and throw it wherever he feels like it, even if it's not the best idea. That's what he does. Of course that's going to happen. Like, what's a team where you would feel comfortable not doing that?
I don't even
the Ravens?
Want,
like I don't the, even, the Chiefs?
I don't even want Patrick Mahomes throwing it 46 times. Like 33, I'm out. Let him run the ball, eat the clock, let's go home.
I do love that Bill Belichick is leaning into what Cam Newton does,
yes,
though. Like this is always to me the sign of a strong coach. Don't try and force players into your situation. You have to adapt. You can have an overall culture. You can have an overall system, but it's got to be flexible based off the talent that you have and what they're good at. Why would you try and force somebody to do something that they're not great at and then take away from something that they are great at? It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So Drew Lock only made his 6th NFL start last night. It still has a long way to go.
Some good, some bad.
An elite quarterback in the league, but he looked good. He was 22-33, 216 yards and a touchdown, and 16-14 loss. He connected with rookie wide receiver Jerry Jeudy on 4 receptions for 56 yards.
That guy's
fast. I think he had 2 drops.
He did. But I got to tell you, his number one receiver was out. Let's be fair.
Oh, I loved what I saw from Jeudy. Again, can we just be a little patient with the rookies
this year? Look at some of these moves.
I thought he was quick. He has great moves, great footwork.
So fast.
He's brilliant. Right. That's what you want to see.
Denver's going to be fun to watch. I don't know how good they are. But I tell you something, in terms of skill positions, like I they're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
They've had some significant losses early in the season, and obviously Von Miller, and then, you know, some opt-outs. I was higher on Denver around draft time than I am now, but I do think that they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
I like Drew Lock a lot. I don't know what his ceiling is, but he plays with a lot of confidence. And for a young quarterback in a situation in Denver where they've been, as they showed in the graphic last night, a quarterback carousel over the past few years, yeah. It's nice to have some stability and commitment at that position. And I liked what I saw from Judy, too.
Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
He's an insider, has been for years in Dallas. Dallas Morning News columnist. I love listening to him. Matt Mosley stopping by. Some opinions on what they're saying in Dallas. Van Der Esch out. Tight end out. 0-1. Atlanta's next. We'll go to Dallas next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Raycon's new wireless earbuds get 15% off by raycon.com/herd. Seamless Bluetooth pairing, best one yet, 6 hours of playtime. Matt Mosley's co-host of the Doomsday Podcast with Ed Werder, and he's covered the Cowboys for 17 years, a columnist, one of the really smart guys in the Dallas media. He is joining me now live. He has also got a little facial hair. I think it looks, frankly, glorious. All right, so we can say what we want about Dak and all the numbers, blah, blah, blah. But all I know is on that last drive, Tannehill last night looked better against Vic Fangio than Dak did against an average Rams defense. Was that an indictment of McCarthy or Dak in that final drive?
Well, I think you're being a little unfair because of the questionable call. What a great throw late with about a minute left to drop it in there. Ramsey with a great sell on the offensive pass interference call. That could have gone either way, but I mean, we would be celebrating Dak. Oh my gosh, what a clutch throw. Obviously, it didn't happen. Comes back on fourth and long, and he's the ball's nowhere near a receiver. Okay, that's desperation time. To your point, though, I loved what I saw, and I know you're buying all sorts of Burrow stock. I loved Joe Burrow the other day. Boom, 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 and they turn it over to a Texas A&M kicker, and he pulls a calf. Bad, bad look there. But I mean, you want a veteran quarterback in that space to move the ball down the field, and he didn't get it done, OPI or not. So, yes, I think you can criticize people. And some people in Dallas, for whatever reason, the media gets really worked up if you criticize Dak Prescott. He plays quarterback in the NFL for the Cowboys. It's going to happen, and it's okay.
You know, it's just interesting. You know, the knock on McCarthy is that he's a little vanilla, it's not real multiple, and, you know, I watched the Rams, and they had much more misdirection, far more looks, and I'm not saying it's a coaching mismatch, but my eyes told me somebody was more creative than somebody else. Was there a little concern that, okay, this is why he got thrown out of Green Bay, is he doesn't give you stuff you haven't seen before?
Okay, here's what I'm saying. Let's give him till week two. If we could see how he does against the Falcons, then you and I get back together. I think this was a sign of not having any preseason, first time, you know, brand new staff and everything. I think the continuity of what the Rams were doing and what McVay's done there, I think that certainly helped. I'll say this, a good sign is this guy's, he's got some quips. He's got some, the honeymoon's over kind of thing. This is not the robotic guy we got used to from Jason Garrett. So even though I vehemently disagree with him going for it the other night, I like that he's kind of owned it this week. And he's just like, all right, we got to go. We got a chance the rest of this way. And the Cowboys have had to kind of recalibrate the fans, what they think this thing can do. And now I think they're a more realistic Colin 14-2 or something like that.
You know, here's what's interesting. And I've seen this now. Jarwin's out. Van Der Esch out. Travis Frederick's already out. And I saw this with the Rams last year. And I saw it with Philadelphia last week, is that when you got seven or eight major contracts, you gotta go cheap somewhere. And then what happens is if a Lane Johnson gets hurt or a Van Der Esch gets hurt, or, you know, last year in L.A. with the Rams, Gurley can't play. I look at Dallas and I see a team that looks very thin to me and is about a Tyrone Smith injury away from maybe, are we close to being in chaos if another player goes down?
Well, yes. But, I mean, I think a lot of teams can say that. You don't want to have an undrafted rookie starting at right tackle. Now, here in about 3 weeks, they'll get Lyle Collins back. Big-time player for them. I mean, they could be okay there. You know, unfortunately, folks have gotten used to Van Der Esch getting hurt. Jarwin's a tough one. Was Witten great anymore? Not really. But Jarwin was very athletic and was able to, you know, they thought they were going to do some dynamic things with him. He's out. That hurts. But this is when you've got to get creative and say, we've got these unbelievable receivers. We got these top three receivers. We got this great running back. They got Pollard. I mean, that's what we need to be talking about, Colin. You've got this jitterbug back you could throw it to, like all these other teams are doing, and every year they're like, boy, we're going to get Pollard involved. He had two targets. He had two targets the other night. I mean, the quickness is there. Sometimes they go back, and I think Mike McCarthy was trying to remind himself the other night, okay, I've got this bell cow. I got to keep feeding him. I got to keep feeding him. I think they will open it up. I think they will open it up. I think it's too early to panic about these injuries, mainly because I didn't even know how good Van Der Esch was in the first place. Now, if Lyle Collins isn't back in about 2 or 3 weeks, then we can start getting scared about this. But most teams don't lose their left tackle or their right tackle, and they just, like, keep rolling. It's rare when that happens.
You know, it's interesting. I saw the Cowboy-Rams ratings were down. That's probably more the Rams than it is the Cowboys. But I also saw this a couple years ago, and it made me think. I don't think it's politics. I do wonder if it's this. Is that the Cowboy fans, there's a fatigue now with them being slightly better than average. When you listen to your show or talk shows or you get feedback, is there a little Jerry Jones fatigue here in Dallas right now?
I there is some fatigue, but listen, this they'll all come racing back. These are bandwagon folks. I mean, you have people climbing on a hockey bandwagon right now in Dallas. So these fans, it'll be fine. I mean, obviously, Colin, if the game was on Fox, done a bigger number, or I guess we could say that. But no, I think it'll be fine. Usually those numbers with the Cowboys are enormous. Again, let's see that happen 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I would say the other day, I got sort of like sensory overload. I looked at the U.S. Open. I got tennis. I got Zverev and somebody else. I got the Nuggets with an amazing comeback. I was all over the map. And I know that shouldn't happen with Cowboys games, but I promise you, they'll be back. They'll be back because generally, even the stinker type games end up doing big numbers for the Cowboys. I don't think this city will ever have fatigue. They always have Jerry fatigue, but again, we love him while we have the fatigue. So it's okay. The ratings will bounce back, and I don't think like Dontari Poe kneeling impacted the ratings. Now, you know, at some point, Dontari Poe might want to go make a play. That was not good. The defensive tackles, the other, you know, were really, really bad. You want to talk about something that stood out the other night. They got blown off the ball, and they got to be better than that.
Yeah. By the way, I don't follow a ton of hockey. Dallas Stars are good this year. Is that what you're telling me?
Stanley Cup final.
Against Vegas.
And, yeah, that's going to happen. Right? Your Vegas is a place you love going.
Yeah.
And, this showed up, by the way, at the house.
Look at that, Mosley.
Recently, yeah, a Dallas Stars jersey. I'm too much of a hardcore journalist, obviously, to wear that.
Of course you are. Yes, of course you are. Matt Mosley, my friend. Good seeing you, buddy.
Good to see you guys. Say hi to Joy.
All right. Hi, Joy. Check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. Carshield.com. Code HERD. Save 10%. A deductible may apply. Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, it's funny. You say to yourself, oh, don't freak out. Well, yeah, but when Baltimore looks great, and then Pittsburgh last night, and their schedule is littered with a lot of dysfunctional teams, and you're Cleveland on Thursday, 0-2 is not a good spot to be in. And Dallas, they have a weaker division. So 0-2 is fine. But the problem is if they go 0-2, Seattle's next, and then you're 0-3. So, you know, it's easy to talk yourself into, you know, drama. But there are times when you look at certain divisions and you're like, you know, Denver's 0-1, the Chargers are 1-0, the Raiders are 1-0, the Chiefs are 1-0. You don't want to go 0-2 if you're Denver. Who's after the two? Are you going on the road to face a Seattle? Are you going on the road to face a Green Bay? Then all of a sudden, 0-2 looks like 0-3. So I do think it's a big week for Dallas against Atlanta. I think it's a really big week for Baker Mayfield in Cleveland against Cincinnati. Now, I think they'll prevail. I think they'll kind of roll Cincinnati. But you can just pretend like this stuff doesn't matter. There's a stat somewhere in this league. If you're 0-3, you know, you would think it's not even October yet. You're 0-3, you're basically out of the playoffs. Because it's not just that you're 0-3. It is telling me that you have some systemic issue that is way beyond, like, fixable. Like, if you're 0-3 in this league, It can't be all schedule. There's something you do poorly, and people are spotting it and going after it and after it and after it. All right. All right, that's good. So Reggie Bush is around the corner, hour three. Doug Gottlieb, Peter King, Matt Mosley, and Reggie Bush is right around the corner. Good stuff today. Game seven tonight. I'll take the Clippers by about 7-8.
Yeah, I'm going with the Clippers. It's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals today, too.
Celtics.
Heat.
Yeah. All right. Hour three next.